Hello. Welcome to Live Well Lifestyle with Perry A., and I'm very excited to have you with us today. I have a special guest. Jody is a friend that I met in the National Speakers Association. And we did a workshop together and just connected. And she has a beautiful gift of being able to take a complicated subject and dissect it into bite-sized pieces that makes it so easily understood. And she gives you a different perspective. And she has a lot of humor, too. So she's kind of a creative innovator. And she does a program on a communication. And last week, we talked about honest communication and being able to speak your own truth with someone else, feeling comfortable and doing that. And we had an assignment to do an eye-to-eye dyad for about 15 minutes, just sitting, being with somebody, looking at them eye-to-eye and sending love. And I hope you all tried that experiment. It doesn't have to be on somebody you're in a close relationship with. It can be with a friend. It's a beautiful thing. So today I'm going to turn you over to Jody and let her do a little introduction to herself. Jody, are you on the line?
I'm here. Can you hear me all right?
Okay, can you speak a little louder?
Yes, how about let me turn up the volume. Does that help if I turn up my volume?
Pardon? I can't hear you.
Okay. Well, I've turned up my volume. Do you want me to take out my headphones?
Okay.
Would that help?
I hope everybody can hear you. I'm going to see if I can
find
the volume.
Like this without just, is this better?
Just speak real loud, okay?
Okay. I'm holding the phone up to my ear instead of using earbuds and hoping that will help. So thank you, Perry. I'm happy to be here with you and your community. And if you're listening to this call, then you are probably interested in making some degree of improvement in your communication abilities. And you might wonder how I can be of assistance. So I'll briefly give you some background. About 20 years ago, I read the book Conscious Loving by Gay and Kathleen Hendricks, and I thought, this is the Bible for relationships. So in 1999, when I saw that Katie was coming to Paris to give a weekend workshop, I signed up immediately. And during that first day, I walked up to her and said, I want more. I want it now. Where do I go? That began a twice-yearly commute for me from Paris to Santa Barbara to train as a life coach. And while what I've learned from the Hendricks Institute is quite central to my coaching, I also use my earned wisdom from life and any other tools I learn along the way or even that I might make up on the spot. Since the Olympics are taking place, I'll say that if you play sports, you know that you're always seeking to improve your chances of finding that sweet spot in your swing or your throw, etc. And it's the same in relationships. There's always something more to learn about communication, but not everything resonates with everyone, so take what works for you and leave what doesn't. I also welcome any questions you may have during our time together, so press star 2 if you're on the phone, if you have a question, or type 1 in if you're on the computer, and Perry and I will be watching for that. So being a practical person, I will be giving you a lot of practical, usable information and tools for all areas of life. But let's work from the foundation up. Communication is an interchange of thoughts, feelings, or information, and the relationship is the context for that communication. Often when we hear the word relationship, we think of a romantic partner, when in fact that is the fourth definition of the word. Number one is a connection, association, or involvement. I like to broaden my approach with these
Jody,
tools to include, yes?
We have somebody that has their hand raised. I don't think people are hearing you very well. The headset's not working too well. Hang on just a minute. Let me answer this line. Okay, hello, you're on the air with Perry.
Perry?
Yes.
I just wanted to let you know that I can hear your guest really well, but you sound like you're down in a well somewhere way far away.
Okay, so you can hear Jody, but you can't me. Well, okay,
yes.
I'll stay off the air and let Jody take it back over.
Thank you.
Can you hear me with my headphones on? Could you hear me at the beginning clearly?
I don't know. For some reason my volume is down, so I'll talk louder when I'm talking, and so I won't interrupt you. You can go back and take over, okay?
I put the headphones back on because apparently that was okay. But if anybody can let us know if this doesn't work, that would be great. It's easier to have my hands free. All right. So I think I was talking about the definition maybe of relationship where the number one is a connection, association, or involvement. And I like to include all relationships when I think about relationship and communication tools. And that would be your partner or family members, friends, colleagues, food, sex, money, nature, and most importantly, your relationship with yourself, because that's where it all begins. The relationship you have with yourself is really central to what your other relationships will look like. So right now, I'll ask you to notice how you feel in your body, and then take a deep breath, expanding your belly and filling your lungs, gently exhaling. Do that two more times and notice if you feel calmer, less contracted, and more harmonious within yourself. And just know that's one way you can come back to yourself when you feel off balance. It will also enhance your own internal communication. So that's one way your body lets you know that you're out of flow. And you have a language for communicating with yourself. And that includes things like hunger, fatigue, anger, laughter, and on and on. So are you aware of when you want to say yes or no? That is a problem for many people who have trouble saying no, or maybe to not even be aware of what they want, whether they want to say yes or no. So it's helpful to enhance your internal communication, to come to know clearly your own body signals. And for me, a no could show up as a clenched gut, shallow breathing, or even feeling my head shaking no side to side. I actually will get an outward no. A yes for me feels expansive. I might smile, my head sometimes nods yes, and my breathing is deep and full. My belly opens up. And how is your self-talk? I've heard we have upwards of 60,000 thoughts per day, that 95% of those thoughts are the same as the day before, and maybe 80% of those are negative. Self-talk is self-programming and absolutely affects how we feel and the filters through which we look at life. You may have heard the Albert Einstein quote, there are two ways to live your life. One is as if nothing is a miracle. The other as if everything is a miracle. What I love about this quote is it says that the quality of my relationships depends on my mindset. And I don't have to be at the effect of my wandering mind. One thing I like to do, in addition to breathing deeply, is to pick some aspect of myself to appreciate each day. It can be something physical or a character trait, but that's my go-to for the day. If I notice that my mind is ruminating or wanting to worry or go negative, I take a deep breath and flip that switch back to appreciating. And it doesn't always have to be the same item, but that way I don't have to stop and think of something to appreciate if I really want to make the switch. So if I choose my hands, for example, I might say, thank you, hands, you're doing a great job. Because of you, I can type, drive a car, cook, button my shirt, pour champagne, eat French fries, or caress a lover. And, you know, that trains the mind to get comfortable with joy and positivity and fires up those brain connections to accept that miracle outlook. There's a best-selling author, cell biologist, Bruce Lipton. He wrote The Biology of Belief. He says we have something like 50 trillion cells in our bodies, and they can do only two things, protect or grow. But they can only do one of those things at a time. So I like to ask myself if I'm protecting or growing, contracting or expanding in my relationships and in relationship with life. So in your relationship with yourself, are you honest? Do you keep your agreement? Do you value yourself just for being you, not for having value for what you're doing, for example? And the big one, do you love yourself? How you feel about yourself will be reflected back to you in your relationships with others. The unloved parts of yourself will show up until you love them. You know, it's great when your lover loves you, but it's really an inside job first. And if you are like me, you might have had several love relationships in your life, and if you've pursued personal growth, you might have noticed over time that the type of person you attract and the quality of those relationships will change. I dated a man in my early 20s that reflected back to me my low self-esteem and my fear of losing him, and I would not be capable of having that kind of relationship right now because of the work I've done. I put myself through a lot of drama, but that's where I was at the time, and that relationship reflected it back to me. And there's no judgment of myself or anyone in that situation. It's all part of being human works in progress. But for anybody who might be interested in the evolution of loving yourself, there is a book I could recommend. It's Learning to Love Yourself by Gay Hendricks. That's H-E-N-D-R-I-C-K-S. All right. So with that foundation established, I'd like to toss out some food for thought. First, when we enter love relationships, it's common for each partner to want to change the other to be like them. This can establish separate camps. They can get into right, wrong, or better, worse thinking versus seeing each other as allies on the journey, remaining curious, and opening to learning from each other throughout life. Classic examples of this are one is always late, one is time conscious, or one is messy and one is tidy, or one is a big feeler and one is a big thinker. So deciding early on that you are together to expand your repertoire of what life is like and what the experiences of life are is beneficial to the health of the relationship. Most of us have learned to have some sort of cap or limit on how good we can stand things and can get uncomfortable when things go too well for too long. And this is what the Hendricks would call the upper limit problem. So the type of counteraction to that we create can vary in type and intensity. So for example, here's a very common example with couples. If the couple has had a very loving, close weekend, and their nervous systems have passed their comfort limits for how good they can stand things, they might create a fight, either on Sunday night after the loving weekend or even on Friday night in anticipation of the good feelings to come. Just too much, it's more than they can handle. So it's very common, and it's great to watch out for, because that's a situation where you would be moving into separate camps, creating a fight, creating distance, as opposed to being allies and saying, oh, look what we're doing, and how can we expand our nervous systems to raise the thermostat level to how good we can expand things. And there's nothing wrong with taking some space to integrate the good feelings that you've developed. That's a wonderful thing. It's important to have that pulsation of knowing when to be together and when to be apart, because we need both. Third thing I'd like to toss out is warning signs. The number one predictor for whether a relationship might not last is when one person has, or both have, an ongoing need to be right. Again, that creates separate camps and reduces the sense of being allies. Dr. John Gottman calls these other warning signs the four horsemen of the apocalypse of relationship. And they are criticism, contempt, defending, and stonewalling. So criticism, too many critical remarks in general, or without enough positive to counterbalance them, wears down a relationship. Contempt is that sneering, putting down of others, and that wears things down as well. Defending, one great example, if it is indeed true, is when the actor Jude Law was caught having an affair with the nanny of his kids and said something like this to his wife, well, you know you can't leave me alone for too long. So, and if it's not true, it's still an example of defending that also puts the blame on the offended party. Stonewalling is flat out being non-responsive, withdrawing completely from the conversation. So those are Gottman's predictors for troubled relationships. But he also adds one prescription, something he finds in thriving relationships. He suggests maintaining a ratio of at least 5 expressions of appreciation for every critical comment you make. And this brings us to one of our stated topics for today, appreciation. Being present and available for connection, having awareness, beholding the other as a work of art, and frequently expressing what you see and like that inspires you. Spread that stuff around with yourself, your beloved, family members, friends, colleagues, and again, food, sex, money, nature. I express appreciation for my car. The nature I see from my windows, I express appreciation for my computer. And I seek to live in that positive consciousness. Why? I feel better. And others light up. It ups everybody's game, and it increases connection and joy. There's a quote from Marianne Williamson that speaks to this. Your willingness to look for the best in people will subconsciously bring it forth. So how do you like to be appreciated? There are so many ways, and it's all unique. Verbally, in writing, with food, with gifts. Not everyone has the same favorite ways, so it's great to ask those you love how they would like to be appreciated so you can personalize your expression. Also, if you want more inspiration about how to appreciate yourself and others, you can go to foundationforconsciousliving.com/appreciation. This is Gay and Katie's site dedicated to filling the world with appreciation, authenticity, and taking the responsibility. I have a shortcut move myself that I call take 2 and give me 5. And what that means is if I'm having an uncomfortable feeling like fear or anger, I will allow myself 2 minutes to stand up and rant and clear the pipes of the energy. Let that feeling cycle through, and then I will state 5 expressions of appreciation. But I don't recommend going off on your beloved and calling names or that kind of thing, but you can do this on your own or with somebody supporting you. There's just something about that, allowing yourself to acknowledge what you feel, to feel it, cycle it through, and then shift to something positive. So I also mentioned in the announcement that there are 3 questions you can ask yourself when things get wonky. And again, you know, in any type of relationship, it could be in a romance, it could be at work, it could be with a family member. So these are, what feeling has not been felt? The second one is, what truth has not been expressed? The third is, what agreement has been broken? Sometimes we're not fully conscious of these answers, but it's by asking ourselves these questions, we can bring them up, and that can be helpful. So what feeling hasn't been felt? And sometimes we bury our feelings, and even with yourself. So in a relationship, looking at, let's imagine that one partner is feeling feelings after watching a spouse talk to somebody for quite a while at a party. The feeling that might show up first might be anger. And so there might be a fight. You spent all this time talking to her, you were ignoring me. But the feeling that hasn't been felt maybe in that case is fear. I'm afraid you might leave me. Sometimes our first obvious feeling is a jacket emotion. It's the one that shows up first, and you think that that is what's really going on, for example, anger. When what's really going on, maybe, underneath it is fear. So what feeling has not been felt? And then feel it. That can show up in the workplace. For example, I feel angry that George is making more for doing the same job. And that may be true, and it may be a jacket emotion for sadness. I feel sad. We live in a country where it's tolerated for women to earn less than men. And the same could be true with yourself. Is there a feeling that you have felt about your own life and about yourself? And asking that question can bring it up for being felt. So what truth has not been expressed? In the context of relationship, maybe it's something like, I'm having an affair. And notice that that can be expressed in one out-breath. Sometimes the biggest things that are going on in a relationship, like having an affair, we think we need to package and give all the preamble and all the background of the discussion, but really any important communication can be expressed in one out-breath. I'm having an affair. I spent $10,000 without telling you. And we had agreed we wouldn't spend more than $5,000 without speaking with each other. Or in the context of your relationship with yourself, the truth that may not be expressed might be something like, I just realized I don't really want to have kids after all. I thought I did, and now I realize that I don't. The third question, what agreement has been broken? I think it is so important to establish clear agreements in any context, any relationship. and sometimes the source of an argument is an agreement that has been broken. And you may not be conscious of that, but cleaning that up clears the way. So I mentioned speaking the truth, and one of our topics today is the unarguable truth. That is an expression of your truth that can't be argued with. Now, outside of a relationship, I think, one time I was walking with a boyfriend, we stepped outside, and I said, I'm cold. And he said, it's nice out. Well, my truth is I'm cold, and it doesn't matter what anybody else is feeling or what you say the weather is doing. And in the context of a relationship, when you come back to what is happening for you that can't be argued with, it could be something like, when you said that, I noticed my jaw clenched. As opposed to interpreting or recycling an old argument or pattern. It could be, when you talked about the possibility of that new job, I felt a lot of spaciousness in my body. And that takes away from the need to say yes or no, but it gives you clues to your yes or no. It's just noticing what you notice, speaking what is unarguable. When I saw you speaking with that woman at the party, I felt scared. As opposed to attacking or making up stories. So when we talked about the good, the bad, and the ugly, that's from an article I wrote earlier this year on Your Tango, and I likened it to the 1960s Western, the good, the bad, and the ugly. And so bad communication is likely to be separating, calling somebody names or saying you always this or you never that. It's arguable, and it's not unifying. It's not going to increase connection. Good communication is going to be specific, unarguable, specific to that person, to that situation. And it's great to say to someone, you look great, but how about something like, that dress really accentuates your figure and matches your skin tone beautifully. It's more specific and more personalized and unique to that person. So ugly could also be called lazy. It can be apathetic or cliche. We hear a lot these days in the coaching community, people saying, you're playing small in your life, or I want to play big in my life. Well, to say that to someone, it leaves it completely open to interpretation by both the speaker and the listener. And it's not specific. It doesn't really say anything. You know, playing small might be, you said you would apply for 5 jobs this week and you didn't do that. It's specific. As opposed to, you're just playing small in your life. That's going to bring things down and not foster connection. Or you're playing big, even on the positive side. You made $500,000 this year doing what you love. Bravo, that's fantastic. And there's no need to label that big or small. And the last thing I said I would talk about on this call is the aphrodisiac of relationship. And you might be surprised, but studies show it is revealing yourself to your partner, being authentic, being transparent, being honest, and being responsive to your partner. There was just an article last month in the Huffington Post about that the key is being consistently responsive to your partner and his or her needs. The other thing is to not dismiss your mate's feelings. And that comes back to being allies, being open, being curious, listening generously, listening for the feelings that are underneath that. But there's another, this might be Gottman as well, I don't recall, but another factor in that's common in thriving relationships is when there are bids for attention, as in, honey, yeah, does the mate put down the newspaper or the phone or turn away from the TV and turn fully to you to hear you and receive you fully? So a bid for attention is asking for your mate's attention, and then how does your mate respond? And in the most thriving relationships, the mate turns and gives attention and is present to receive you.
And I think that's a really big one for students as well, because my daughter's a kindergarten teacher, and getting their attention when you're telling them something is so important. She'll get the child and she'll turn their face, and she said, eyes on me when I'm talking, eyes on the teacher.
Yeah.
Did you understand what I said? And then acknowledge it, because if they're busy doing something else, they kind of go, uh-huh, and then having a clue what you said.
Mm-hmm.
So we can do that in our relationships as well as being a teacher to little children.
That's right. In all relationships, with yourself on down, it is, especially now with our divided attention society, with so many screens, and so much information coming at us, it's even more important than ever to be present with yourself, be present with others, and really be in yourself and not thinking of something else while you are listening to your mate.
Or texting somebody while you're listening. Playing with the cell phone.
Yeah, yes. Which is a turnoff. But I also talked about the reliable turnoff, and that is a formula called withhold, withdraw, project. And that gets back to being authentic and real and revealed as a turn on. When we withhold something, we naturally withdraw. And I'm talking about something important, something that would shift the relationship if it were known, like an affair, like a huge, multi-$1,000 purchase, or something that you're trying to hide, or addictions or something, but withholding will lead you to withdraw your energy from the other person, and that other person begins to look less attractive and less interesting when you withhold and withdraw. And then you might project. Classic example, a wife is having an affair, she doesn't tell her husband, and then she withholds and withdraws, and then she is starting to look different, increasingly not so attractive, and then she goes to projection. You are working a lot of extra hours lately. Are you having an affair? And projects the scenario onto him. So, yes, withhold, withdraw, project. It's the opposite of an aphrodisiac. It is a turnoff. And as we all know, when we're concealing and withholding something important, it is not easy to feel open, especially in intimacy with your partner. So I'm wondering if there are any questions. I see
I went over to the question corner, and there are none, and I did solve the volume problem. I had my phone down where you could hear the music, and when I didn't pay attention, and so I was turning the volume down, not looking at my phone when I picked it up. I've been holding my phone upside down. I don't know why I didn't hit all the dial buttons and dial somebody. But then I thought, after checking everything on the internet, I thought maybe I hit my volume button on my phone is down. And when I turned it to look at it, I realized I'd been holding my phone upside down, trying to press it through my eardrum so I could hear better.
Oh, wow. Well,
that's going to be an honest communication. I'm telling on myself. So I'm willing to be vulnerable and human, you know, and laugh at the moment.
Yes, so. Excellent. Excellent. Yeah, well, there's something about revealing because, it can be even said if you're not fully revealed with the important things you need to reveal, that you're not so much in a relationship but an entanglement, and drama will likely ensue. But so thank you for that.
Yes, well, I thank you. And I was going to see if we had any more questions. The phone is still on for Mary Law, and I don't know if she still has another question or if I just didn't click it off. So let me open that line. Mary, are you on the air?
Yes. I don't have a question, but I'd like to share something that I learned many years ago, and I'm sure this will not be any news to you ladies, but maybe if someone else is listening. My mother and I were very close, but of course, as the years went by, we developed more of a close friendship, which was lovely. And even though we lived over 2,000 miles apart, we would often call one another. And we developed just a question that we would ask one another. If I wanted to call her and maybe talk with her about something rather serious, or she, me, we would ask the other, "Are you open today?" And that was our key question. We knew that meant, number one, the person who asked the question wanted to talk about something serious or whatever. But it also allowed the other person to be honest and say, "I really can't today. You know, I'm not in a place where I can have a deep discussion today, or I'm not feeling up to it." And it was just wonderful because it took away that pressure. It took away the, we have that temptation of just not being honest with people. And then later we feel frustrated because it didn't go right. And it's not going to go right unless you're really open to communicating and welcoming that interaction. So I just thought I'd put that out there, that maybe if you two people would come up with a question they could ask each other, it would be that clue. But then understanding it's okay to say, "No, not today."
Yes. In fact, that's just one of many, many tools I didn't mention today, is to say, "I have something I'd like to share. Are you available for that right now?" And that's
right.
That's something we use for sure.
Mary is the person who brought up this topic and gave me the ideas when I was asking for some topics. So thank you, Mary, because that is a good one. I know when I'm talking to people on the phone answering a question, I have to turn away from my computer so I can be with them, because if I'm looking at it and an email pops up, it splits my attention, and I don't feel that connection. So little things like that make a big difference. And if you're trying to get out to the door for a meeting, a lot of times people will catch me when I'm running late for an appointment, and I just say, "May I call you back later? I'm heading out the door." And so they always understand, but very good point there. And we have another question coming up, too. Do you have anything else to add to that, Jody, before we go to the other caller?
No,
okay. Okay, caller from Louisiana, you're on the line. Hello, are you there?
Hello?
Yes, this is Perry.
I'm not the one who, I don't think I'm the one, but I am from Louisiana. This is
I don't see a hand
raised. The phone line was open. You may have punched something in star two on your phone.
Okay, I didn't punch star two, but I did join very late. I totally forgot about it, and so I didn't even quite hear the subject. but I kind of picked up on it a little. And since I'm on the line, I will just say this one thing, and maybe you've already answered this, but my personality is that I silently suffer. You know, I just take and take and take and take till I'm up to my ears, and then one day I just kind of retreat and go away, you know. And but then as I've gotten older in the last few years, I've started speaking up and telling people what bothers me, but it seems to never go well. And you know, maybe it's me that doesn't present it very well, but then I kind of feel like maybe I should just go back to my old way of just not saying anything and praying about it or whatever, but on the other hand, kind of getting out of the situation much sooner. But as I said, I'm sorry I joined so late. You may have already addressed the answers to this, and if so, I apologize.
It's never too late.
Yeah, and you can listen to the archive recording.
Yes.
Once that's up, if you'd like to. And while I didn't address that specifically, because that is the kind of situation that generally would call for personalized coaching, I think sometimes prefacing something by, I feel scared to say this, if that's what you, indeed what you're feeling, because it sounds like that may be true, but if you start with, you know, I feel scared to say this, and this is what my experience is, and make it about your experience, I'm not, because I don't know exactly what you're saying, and I doubt that you are making somebody wrong and necessarily blaming somebody, but or pointing the finger, but to say, I feel scared to say this, and this is what I'm feeling, and this is how I experienced that, or that kind of thing. It's hard to know without knowing the, you know, being in a full coaching setting.
Right, right. Mostly it's that I give and give of myself 100%, and it's taken for granted, and I do it for so long that finally I get resentful. And really, I probably passed that point where I should be talking to them about it, because now I'm just really resentful, you know, and fueled by that. And as I say, it's not a good place to come from. And at that point, I'm probably way past the point of talking to them and being open. And
I think it comes back to your relationship with yourself, which I talked a lot about at the beginning of the call, and that is really knowing what you really do and don't want to do, because it sounds, as you said, you overgive, and so therefore you might be overriding some of your own internal signals for what you really do and don't want to do. And so if you're overriding yourself, it's learning to that language of communication with yourself, to how to tune in and see, do I really want to do this or not?
And then
honoring yourself,
You're very right. You're right on target. It's that I ignore my own needs. And I'll just say this very briefly, and then I know you're probably about to go. I live in southern Louisiana, and we've had terrible, terrible flooding, and it's still a disaster area. And a person who I have given a lot of time to in the past, an animal rescue, and who finally and didn't ever voice appreciation, and I just neglected my own needs. Well, that situation occurred this week, and she asked me, would I wash all her clothes and her bedding and her linens, and I'm sure it included her daughters and her grandchildren and whatever. And normally the old me would have dropped everything and said, and see, my washing machine's not even working, but I probably wouldn't even have told her that. I would have just taken it all to a laundromat and spent my own money and done all of that. But this time I said, I'm sorry, I can't do it. My machine's not working. Plus, you know, I'm dealing with other stuff myself. And then so that was a new to me, but then I do it, and of course every day I remember it, and I feel a little bad because her clothes needed to be done because she had water in her house chest high. And all of that will be mildewed and ruined if it's not washed quickly. And so I still feel bad about it, and I still feel when I talk to her again that I have to apologize that I couldn't do it. But I stopped and said to myself, she has family members who could pitch in and do this, but she's not. She's asking me to see.
Yeah, yes. And it's not yours. It's not yours to do in this case, and trust that she can meet her needs without you.
Yeah. If she's a true friend, it won't affect it. And I'd also like to say this is what helps me, because I get that, I was like you a lot, and kind of get that guilty feeling. But then I learned the word no doesn't mean I don't love you. It just means I'm not your source of supply at this moment. And somebody else is looking for somebody to help. And if I step in and do something I don't want to do, I'm taking something away from someone who does want to do it.
Right. And you said if she's a true, I didn't hear your word, that the word no wouldn't matter.
If she's a true friend, it's not going to matter. She'll understand. And if
she's
not
really,
then she's just using you, and you need to get on to better people in your life that are more supportive of you than draining
you. Sometimes, I talked about allies earlier in the call, and sometimes people who repeatedly ask for something in this kind of case are your ally in that they are giving you the opportunity to learn to say no, to learn what you do and don't want to do. And so it can also help to say, oh, what a great ally. I'm having that opportunity to have discernment once again and knowing what I want to do and expressing it. You know, thank you.
Asking for patience, and God gives you lots and lots of lines and traffic to practice patience.
Yeah, exactly.
They're giving you the opportunity to practice saying no. Thank you for asking, but it's not going to work for me right now. I have a lot of other things going on. But thank you for asking, and you're free.
Yes. Well, right. I am free. I'm free of the obligation, but because of my personality, every day since I said that, I get up and I think about, are her clothes washed? Did they mildew? Or her poor mother, who's about 80 years old, you know, is she doing it all? Because she probably dumped it all on her mother. And so I still feel that niggling guilt, you know. So.
You addressed self-talk earlier, didn't you, the negative self-talk? You're
yes,
just
ma'am.
Beating yourself
to
up, and don't do that to my friend. Please don't treat yourself that way, because you're my friend.
Okay, yeah, I have to re-listen to your program because I joined in so late, so thank you. Yes.
Well, thank you for sharing those. Those are very good points and really bring it home for a lot of us, because we've all been in that place where we give and give and give, particularly to our kids and our grandkids. And, I will tell my grandchild, no, I'm not going to buy you a bag of candy. I love you too much, and I hope you have your teeth all your life. So I'm not going to contribute to your sugar craving. And he knows better than to ask me to buy him a bag of candy. But he still tries it every now and then. The answer's still no. And it doesn't bother me a bit. It doesn't bother me a bit, you know.
Right. Well, she had a real need. You see, it was a little different than just a bag of candy. She had a huge need in that when the water receded out of her house, action needed to be taken quickly to wash all of this, or it would be mildewed and ruined, and she does not have flood insurance for the contents of her house. But, again, as you pointed out, it is not my responsibility.
No, it's not.
And she did have others who could do that. If she had no one, maybe that would be a different story.
You know, usually after a flood, one of the soap companies comes in and brings a trailer with washing machines, and people can come in for free and wash and dry their things. And I'm sure they're going to set some up like that in the community.
Well, it'll be a little late you need to operate fast because these clothes are water sodden, blankets, sheets,
yeah,
clothes,
they'll mildew.
Will mildew. So she was trying to get it done before they did, but it's anyway.
And
she,
even
she
if
wasn't
she had
she,
broken it up and not asked one person to do all of it, but to break it up, that's a huge burden to put on one person, even when you're desperate. But to ask somebody
to
do one load of clothes for me.
It occurred to me too. You know, she's asking me to do all of this, and you know, I could have gotten. But I finally said, I just am not up to going out there and doing any of it today. I'm just not up to it, and
yeah.
I had to say no. And okay.
Well, I'm proud of you for saying no.
Thank you.
So pat yourself on the back for that.
Yeah, good for you.
All right. Well, I think that pretty much wraps up our show for today.
Yeah.
Jody, do you have anything else you'd like to say in conclusion?
I don't. I feel complete, and I appreciate the opportunity to be with all of you today. And thank you, Perry.
And I want to give you Jody's website. It's www.jodykaylor, K-A-Y-L-O-R. It's like Taylor with a K, .com.
Mm-hmm.
And it'll be on the handout information also, and I want to thank you, Jody, for joining me. And like I said, she shows you step by step how to break a big thing down into little increment, bite-sized pieces, and digest them. And I appreciate you very much for coming on. And I apologize for panicking you about the volume when it's my phone that was upside down.
That is all right. Glad we got through it.
And thank you all for listening in. Appreciate, love you, and couldn't do without you. Next month, I am going to be talking on the Lifestyle Show about the great energy zapper, how we argue, and the futility of arguing. This is political times, and, you know, good friends can become enemies because they like someone different, and it's okay to agree to disagree. So we're going to talk about the great energy zapper. And so I'll give you a little hint on that. So now this is Perry A. and Jody signing out and wishing you a wonderful weekend. Blessings all around. Watch for them because they're there. And be thankful to God for the beautiful life that we do have. Goodbye.
Bye-bye.